Hello, SVC Sports fans. This is Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com. Coming to you a little differently this week. Looking back over the history of our 10-year website and our 8 years here on SVC Sports Talk, we've arrived at show 250. And I just want to personally thank you before we get started for listening, for caring, for loving the Side of Valley Conference, for loving our student athletes and the programs and everything that we try to represent here in our community. Obviously, I want to give a special thank you to Triple Crown Family Fun Center. They've been with us from the very beginning. And obviously none of this is possible without them, as well as all the other sponsors over the years and obviously our current sponsors now on the website. So, I just appreciate Bruce Knox giving me this opportunity just to kind of genuinely say thank you and appreciate everything. And I hope you enjoy show 250. So here we go.
DBKMediaServices.com. You're listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody out in SVC land. Bruce Knox with you for show 250, as Shane already hinted at in the open. We are so glad you're here. This and all of our 250 shows brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. And we really do appreciate very much their support. It's all kinds of fun under one roof at Triple Crown. It's a great place to have a party. And they are located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. Open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can give them a call at 740-773-7529. And for all those good details, you can also look them up on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Again, we want to mention something that John Bruce and I are still waiting for is that a limousine ride. You can contact them to have them pick you up in one of their luxurious state-of-the-art party vans or limousines. So when you think of fun, just think Triple Crown. Appreciate that. Them again. And I'd like to bring in for our 250th show the two gentlemen who do most of the talking on here because they know most of the information. First, our junior partner, Mr. John Bruce. John, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Just spent about 12 hours in the movie theater this weekend watching nice little movie that came out. I'm sure other people have probably seen it.
Yeah.
There's a couple people there when I was there. Think it might make its money back this weekend. I thought about spoiling it, but people want LeSean McCoy to lose his contract because he spoiled it on Twitter the other day. So I think I'll stay away from that right now.
That's a good thing. I'd probably bleep you out if you did that. So we appreciate you being with us.
Yeah.
And of course, the elder statesman of SVC Sports Talk, Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm great. And yeah, Bruce, it's an exciting show for us, I know, because you think back, I can remember all the way back to our phone conversation together before we even knew, or at least I even knew what a podcast was.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of just the idea and how it's been able to grow and the different things. I think back on the website going all the way back to 2008, I was looking back today, John, names like Craig McGill, player of the year in golf, and Adina volleyball was good. I guess that never really changed much, did it? Westfall football, across country, and names like Lydia Bridenball and so forth. But then you fast forward a couple years and we start in on SVC Sports Talk, and it's just it's just been a lot of fun. It's hard to believe that we're here, but the great support of Triple Crown, the incredible work of you, Bruce, there with your sound stuff and leading the way on the show. And we're looking forward to having guys on the show tonight, like my brother and Jeremy Ward and Derek Webb, Eric Snyder, and then obviously what John's brought to the show, and it's just an exciting celebration, but it's also kind of a look forward to what we can hopefully continue to do for our league.
Hey, I'd like to throw something out there about that first year of the website. If you ever want to take a look at what being patient with a coach and a program is, look at the first year of boys basketball history on SBC Sports Zone with Uniota 1-20.
Wow.
Let me tell you what, that wasn't fun to be a part of. But if you're patient and you have a coach that has a good, you know, has a good long plan, that good things can happen.
Was that one Mr. Matt Hoops, was it?
Yes, that was our second year. It was not a lot of fun, a lot of hard work, obviously it's built up a little bit since then.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
So juggernaut that it is now. So
just stay patient with your coaches, everyone.
Yeah. Okay, let that be lesson number one for show number 250. Mm-hmm. Guys, we're going to get into this show. We're going to do a little different differently, I should say, than what we do normally each week. We have this three up, three down in the spring. It's similar to our headline segment from earlier this year. And first of all, this is brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club, located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Their telephone number 740-986-4653. I know they're lining up already some outings out there. I saw a local outing that's going to be held up there. You can find all the information about the golf course and all their facilities, including their banquet facilities, at crownhillgolfclub.com. Again, call Kevin and see what you kind of tell them what you're up to, what you need, and so forth, and they will find a bullet to fit your pistol because they work with everybody out there. We appreciate their support, too. But on the three up, three down, we're going to kind of approach it from a different angle. John, we're first going to come to you, and we're going to talk about your three headlines that you would normally contribute to this section. And then, Shane, we're going to talk to you after that about the overall history headlines from our show, because you've been around for all eight seasons of the show. John has not, although John tells us that he was a regular listener of all these, and so he probably has some things to contribute as well. But first, John, we're going to come to you for the three up, three down. What do you have in the way of our regular headlines today?
Championship week on both sides of the league. Weather permitting, each team in the league will have four league games this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. On each side, Uniota on the boys are on baseball and Westfall on the softball side. Each team has a two-game lead on the rest of the league, but they each play the second-place teams. Uniota plays actually not an easy week at all with Zane Trace, Southeastern, Westfall, and then Edina throughout the week. Westfall and Zane Trace are tied for second right now. Now they play each other on Friday. So that will probably, that could be a big kind of a tiebreaker in there if Uniota does drop two. And it will not be an easy week. And then Westfall has Uniota on Wednesday, who's in second in the SEC, and then they also face Zane Trace on Friday, and Zane Trace right now is sitting in third with three league losses. Westfall's looking for a gold ball. Just hopefully the weather cooperates this week. It's not looking great,
no.
It could be a really fun week for fans. And there's a big game every night this week also.
Yep. Going to be very busy this week, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's our first headline for three up, three down. What about our second headline?
Softball tournament draw gives the SBC some positive hope going into the tournament. A little stranger this week. Baseball has voted to give an extra week to the season, while softball hasn't. So softball's tournament stuff starts a little earlier. Mm-hmm. So next week will be the baseball tournament draw. This week was softball tournament draw. Mm-hmm. Westfall's top seed, and they're in their district or in their sectional, very deservingly. They'll be the top seed. I like their draw to have a definitely a good chance to get to a district final and possibly beyond. Unieta was the two, and theirs in Division Two. Their head-to-head with Waverly probably gave Waverly the gave them the nod over them. But I like Unieta's draw to get to a district. Obviously, a 20-0 Sheridan in the district semifinal isn't ideal. But with the athletes Unieta has, definitely would give them a really good chance to make a run to a district final and beyond also. And then Zane Trace and Huntington, I really like their draws to possibly get to a district and maybe a little bit beyond. It'll be Division Three is really good in softball. Division Two, just the whole area is really good in softball. Kind of top heavy at times, but I do like Huntington and Zane Trace's chances to get to a district. And then you never know what happens there. And then when I looked at it more, I like Paint Rally and Adina's chances to at least get a win in the tournament. And then, you know, things get much more difficult from there. But, you know, especially with a young team like Adina, Paint Rally's still a fairly young team. Just to give them something to build on into the future would be really good. So I like the tournament draw so far for the softball league, and I really think that we could do some really good things this year.
All right, so softball tournament draw is in the books. All right, let's head to our number three, three up, three down with the current situation.
All right, and then how will the weather affect the pitching on the baseball side with this week? Like I mentioned in first down or first up,
yep.
I guess.
First one up, right?
Whatever. Yeah, first down, one up. I don't know. Whoever's not in the hole. You know, if we're going with that, just how is the pitching going to be affected by the league or by the weather?
Yeah.
Now, if I'm just being honest, I know a certain team that I might coach at the school has only used five pitchers for the entire season. And then has a 5-day week this week. So the weather has been really, really good for some teams. Actually, I would say all, because I know Shane, you and I have talked about it. It's kind of worked out how the weather's been, but now we'll see how the depth of the pitching across the league goes, because you're going to have to throw, someone who hasn't started a league game more than likely as your starter on Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on how you decide to go after it. So, I mean, with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's going to have to be a different pitcher every game unless somehow everyone swings at the first pitch and makes one out and you get out of there with less than 30 pitches, which I am going to go ahead and guarantee will not happen. That's kind of a – I'll place my job on the line here.
Ooh.
That will not happen this week. we will not have a 21-pitch performance by a starting pitcher unless it's in a really bad way. So, you know, and I know with how some teams played on Saturday, how did their pitching and how did they navigate their pitching? Did they hold back one of their starting pitchers for Monday? Or did they say, hey, we're going to win on Saturday. Let's kind of divvy them up throughout the rest of the week after that. And I think it'll be that's how it should be, really, is the depth of your team should determine who's going to win the league, especially in your pitching staff. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how the league's top teams do this week and how the pitching depth will determine that.
All right. Three great headlines there for our three up, three down. Now, as I said, we're going to kind of switch gears here a little bit, Shane, and kind of ask you for three headlines, if you will, kind of looking back at the history of the show, probably three that stand out to you more than any. I mean, we've had 249 other shows. I'm sure there's been a few things that have kind of raised their heads several times. Why don't you kind of explain to us how you went about this first before you actually give us the headlines?
Well, I tried to just think back through the history of the website and SVC Sports Talk, and obviously there's way too many athletes to mention or great teams to mention. We've had the incredible streaks of Uniota boys basketball and Adena volleyball, and even one that's forgotten sometimes, the Westfall football of from a while back. And then you start to see some of the great athletes. We've had state champions. We've had, just a lot of different things. And I guess I just started to try to come down to what are three things that have stood out the most that have never kind of gone away over the course of the time. And I guess number one, I'm going to kind of go more on a personal note, and I'm going to say an ongoing goal accomplished. I think the original goal of the website, if I go back to my original conversations with my brother Matt, who's going to join us here in a little bit, and as well as you, Bruce, and I was looking for a way to just increase coverage of our local athletes. Mm-hmm. If you remember, John, it was about a time there where J.J. Huddle was around and some different things, mm-hmm. but there just wasn't a lot other than just your basic local things. And the way social media started to take off and so forth, it just seemed like there was a lot left undone. And as we were doing this, we were hoping to maybe even put some pressure on some different things, because this was never to be anything of a business aspect or anything like that. And that's what's allowed us to stay just 100% SVC 100% at the time. And I can remember there's been multiple things of, hey, can we get Chillicothe involved here? Can we get Waverly involved here? And if I'm being honest, looking back on it, that was kind of what I was wanting to get away from at the time. I was kind of wanting to get away from spreading it all the way around the area and really focusing in on our great conference of the SVC. And, as time's gone on and I see, the coverage KKJ continues to give, and the Chillicothe Gazette, and they've even added some podcasts, and we're going to have Derek Webb on later in the way he's tried to expand some different things and so forth. I guess that's been the exciting thing for me, is that we've been able to kind of accomplish that goal. But then, John, you and I sit at a baseball non-league doubleheader here a couple weeks ago, and I look up and there's a radio station from over in the Southern Hills League doing a doubleheader for baseball. And sure enough, they're on all the way to about 11 o'clock that night and highlighting those programs and so forth. So I see that, and the baseball coach in me, it motivates me to keep going. It motivates me to say, no, we're going to keep pushing. We're going to get more and more and more and more and try to get more and more of these things accomplished. So any coverage we continue to give, and obviously, as we've said before, the spring coverage is something we pride ourselves in greatly for our baseball, our softball, and our track kids. And but I see facilities improving. I see coverage improving. I just see a lot of things happening that's going to take our league to another level here. So Bruce, I think my number one, I'll go with an ongoing goal accomplished, with the ongoing meaning that even though we're accomplishing it day to day, that we're going to have to continue to strive to keep moving forward in the future.
All right. Let's go to your number two, three up, three down.
Number two, I don't mean to go to a negative side here, but it's something that it seems to never go away over right. The history. Every year on SVC Sports Talk, it seems to come up, and I was going to ask a couple of our guests about it throughout the evening, but it's the slipping school pride. And that might be a little unfair, because I don't know that this is the whole problem. I think there's examples of it, but I think it comes from, we live in a time of the AAU club volleyball transferring is completely out of control. Different things, from school to school. And I think what happens is, the challenge is, how do we truly understand what it means if you're growing up at Zane Trace and I'm a Pioneer, I'm the red, white, and blue, or if I'm at Uniota, I'm a Sherman Tank, I'm believe the purple and gold. I know at Paint Valley, when I get a chance to talk to young kids, you know, people say, hey, what collars should we make that down in our hallway? Or what? Well, what do you mean, what collars should we make it? Yeah. It should be black and gold. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where we really need a sense of community, a sense of pride, and so forth. And I think these AAU and club volleyball opportunities are incredible, but it almost breaks my heart as someone who sees the value of high school sports when I see someone say, well, I just kind of getting ready for my club season through this. And there's not that pride in putting that jersey on. And you know, I was reading something the other day about how, you know, do we need to look at sports and some trade skills? I can tell you this about high school sports. High school sports prepare you for just about any walk of life in terms of what it means to be a part of something bigger than yourself, in terms of utilizing your skill for the betterment of anything you're involved in. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. And I believe in it so much. So I just believe sports play a huge role in the education of our youth. And that's why I hate to see when school pride doesn't quite ring the way maybe it used to, and so forth. And we there for a while, Bruce, remember we did the student sections.
Sure.
And I know that made some administrations some people, that easier, yeah. So forth. But the point of it was starting to see kids come together and do things. I think it's a really neat scene when you look at a Friday night in the gym, two student sections and a packed house and kids representing their communities and so forth. And I think that's what you get in the SVC that I don't know that you get in a league where, you know, the average distance might be 50, 55, 6, you know, 60 minutes away. You know, we're in a situation where we think Westfall to Piketon's a long trip. People yeah. in the TVC probably laugh at that.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying there is slipping might be an unfair term, but the point I'm just trying to make is I want to really rekindle some of the passion, some of the rivalry, some of the pride that we have in our schools and understand the great thing that we have.
All right. It's a very good one. Number three on your three up, three down history of the show.
Bruce, you could probably have guessed it. And I'd be lying if I didn't include it. Would be the enrollment forces middle generation to look back, mm-hmm. then look ahead.
Okay.
If I'm just being honest here, you guys don't understand how many times I get approached about enrollment, about expansion, it's literally there for a while. It was almost daily over about a 3 or 4 year spurt when it really was a hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
But even now, it still comes up, and you know I've stayed pretty consistent on this. I feel like through the history of the website, you know, I feel like for the SVC, if I'm a spokesman for the SVC is crazy to ever let its conference break up in terms of what we have, in terms of our geography, our history, our consistency, our scheduling, our the way we honor kids, anything and everything. We do it really, really well. Now, obviously, I'm open-minded to there may be schools that go so far to one extreme that they may have to take a look at what's best for their kids or their community in the future, and that's fine. But if you're just talking to me as a league, our league's very strong. The only thing I'll throw out here, guys, is this. If you analyze from 1980 to 2000, and then you look at the difference between 2000 to 2020
mm-hmm. –
there is a little bit of a scary difference in terms of the school sizes and some of the competitive balance in certain areas and so forth. Not necessarily competitive balance, being able to compete Friday night to Friday night, but being able to compete over the course of a 14-game schedule or over the course of an entire year or over the course of a 2 or 3 year spurt. That would be the only thing that I would be that I would throw out there in terms of when you look from 1980 to 2000, then you look at the difference from 2000 to 2020, I think we need to open our eyes to some things in 2020, 2040 to make sure that our league takes the necessary steps in order to stay strong into the next 20 years, because certainly a difference I feel like in terms of the league I played in compared to the league that I coach in. So that would be the only thing in terms of being very creative, being very dynamic, not getting so stuck on our old ways but then not being so overblown with our new ways, sitting down, communicating, and making sure that we're making the right decisions for our particular schools and for our great league. But I guess those are the things. Gosh, it's hard.
Yeah.
Like anything, it's hard to narrow it down to three things. But I just think that the goal that we are trying to accomplish, the difference in what it means to play for your school and to bleed the green and white or the purple and gold or the black and gold or the red, white and blue, whatever it might be. And then obviously the enrollment talk and so forth, but that's just is what it is. But gosh, what a great league. And I think we have a strong foundation. I think people have to continue to work to keep it strong and move it forward.
I think those were three reasonable, topics that, pretty much were interwoven throughout the history of the show, Shane. I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head there with those, as did John with his current headlines as well. So that's our three up, three down. Up next, we welcome back some voices of SVC Sports Talk Past. Blasts from the Past coming up.
Baseball and a bat in his hand. Daddy had him swinging from the time he could stand. Out in the sand,
This section of the show brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. Located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff will help you out. Give them a call at 740-773-PETS. Yeah, they feel a good veterinarian must know each and every animal being treated and the temperament of each pet. The pets have likes and dislikes just as people do, and their practice is limited to small animals so that they get to know everything about their patients. They want to know them like family, and they want to know their owners as well and how they want their animals treated. That is North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. Again, 740-773-BETS.
Well, here with this being show 250, we thought it would be cool to invite back a lot of our voices that have been on SVC Sports Talk with us over the years. Obviously, the person that was right there at the beginning with me in terms of starting the website 10 years ago, and then when we started the podcast 8 years ago, my brother Matt. So joining us first here is my brother Matt Combs, who, of course, is a longtime follower of SVC Sports, has spent his adult career over at Benton County as a successful boys varsity coach, but has obviously continued to be a part of our community and follow SVC Sports. So excited to have you with us tonight, Matt. So we'll take a look at talking to Matt here first, and then we're going to talk to Jeremy Ward, Derek Webb, and Eric Snyder as well. But let's get started here with Matt first.
Well, Matt, in preparation for the 250th show tonight, I was looking back at the fall of 2008, which was actually when the website started. And then, obviously, we were a couple years in, two or three years in, Bruce, when we went to the podcast show. But I guess, Matt, I would go all the way back to the beginning and ask you to comment on when you think of what our goal was at the time to what we've been able to accomplish now. Do you feel like we have been able to do that, or do you think some things have changed along the way? Just your feedback when you think of the website and the podcast over the last decade for this area.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we started this thing back, like you said, in like 08, the vision it was obviously for the website portion of things to report what's going on in the league, athletically, do stats. Things that maybe we thought weren't out there, and I think that's what really set the tone, so to speak, or the foundation for the website. But then I think the podcast is probably taking it to another level. The website's still home base, so to speak, for obviously for SVCSportsZone.com, and you guys do a great job with that, keeping people up to date. But I think this podcast is probably at this point what makes it unique.
Well, you know, Matt, talk about how the league has changed and different things. We've tried to play a role in helping it evolve a little bit. I had mentioned and kind of my look back on things, something I wanted to get your take on. You know, you and I have kind of been through the entire spectrum in terms of the hats we've worn in the SVC, from, you know, growing up in the community to playing in high school to coaching and now trying some media stuff and so forth. When you look from 1980 to 2000, and then you've looked at what's happened to some enrollment 2000 to 2020, it's hard to look back at a history thing without the enrollment thing coming up and so forth. Where do you feel like the SVC is in terms of strength of its existence in terms of from 2020 to 2040, if you kind of have to go into the next generation?
You know, I think there's enough working for this league still to where it's going to remain strong. I think that, you know, obviously enrollment has changed at some schools, UNIOTA being one of them. And that's the one I think most people look at. But you know, you also have enrollments, I think, growing, it seems like, at some other places like Zane Trace. But I think that whenever you have enrollment discrepancies, you always worry about the competitive fairness of it or whatever. But then when you look a little closer and you see what Paint Valley has done in football and what Adena has done in volleyball over the years, how those programs are still relevant in this league right now in those sports. You know, I look at, you know, how balanced the baseball league is, the softball league. You know, I still think there's a lot of competitive balance in the SVC. And I think that there are some sports where numbers tend to win out because of the way those sports operate. A lot of times track, right? But then again, we see Paint Valley win the track a couple years ago or whatever. So, you know, I just don't know that enrollment is the be-all, end-all of the discussion. I think that the thing that this league has going for it that other leagues don't is the proximity, you know, the short trips, the natural rivalries, because you have six schools within one county in this league. And I just think there's a lot of history and tradition that probably will sustain this league, even with some of the landscape changing a little bit in terms of the enrollment.
You know, John, as you've joined me this year, you know, you and I have known each other for so long. And one of the things that really intrigued me about having you on the show is I thought you were able to give some unique perspective in terms of being at different schools and then, you know, being involved in a lot of different sports and having some of those perspectives to give. And growing up and watching Matt play and then, you know, watching him coach and then coaching against him a little bit and doing some different things dynamic. What is it that you would want to ask Matt here in terms of, you know, just anything SBC, anything high school sports that you think would add to the show in this case? I just want to kind of give you the freedom with some of our guests tonight, because I know you'd been a longtime listener before mm-hmm. joining in this year.
Yeah, as I can remember the first year when you guys did this, I was moving back from Tennessee and I was laying on my couch and I saw, you know, I was just checking out the website and I saw you had a podcast. I thought, you know, let's see how this goes. And I really enjoyed the first couple. And then it started, I was going back to Wright State and driving back and forth and pretty much was a people of my Tuesday mornings was driving up there and, listening to you guys, and then as it went to Jeremy and Eric, and then Derek, you know, just got me kind of through things on the drive. So it was really really enjoyed the podcast, and I'm really really appreciate being a part of it now. And just kind of one thing I wanted to ask Matt is how do you see as being part of the TVC and how it's kind of grown while you've been a part of it? Is that something that you could see the SVC doing also, and how well would maybe going to a second division, how will that would impact things?
Well, I know, I think sometimes you got to be really careful with it, to be honest. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. It seems like I've seen it adversely affect leagues more than positively. You know, obviously the SEOAL, if people remember that conference, when they expanded, it was the beginning of the end for that league. And you talk about a league that, if I'm not mistaken, was like the oldest league in Ohio, if I'm not mistaken. I think somebody told me it had been around longer than any of them. And all of a sudden, they expand, and they add Zanesville, Chillicothe, and Ironton, all these schools. And within, you know, 5-6 years, it seemed like, maybe just a hair longer, the whole thing disbanded. So I think you have to be careful with that. I know, I'll be honest with you, the TVC, the TVC, in terms of the way it's run, is not where I'd like to see it be, if I'm being honest. And part of that is it's too big. And there's too much, you know, you have a division of small schools and division of large schools or larger schools. And both of those leagues trying to run under the same umbrella makes it tough, because that small division needs certain things and that bigger division needs certain things. And because of that, things get missed and things don't go the way they should. And we have issues that haven't been resolved. And so I guess what I'm saying is sometimes the grass looks greener on the other side till you get there. I just think the SVC has a lot going for it in terms of, like I said, the closeness of the schools, the rivalries, the media coverages, you know, the fact that, you know, WKKJ can cover the big games. The fact that you have something like SBCSportsZone.com, and obviously, you know, still the Chillicothe Gazette. You know, sometimes, you know, when you start spreading yourself out, you add more schools. Well, those schools aren't in Ross County. You know, you're going to be going out to get them. And all of a sudden now, instead of three counties involved in your league, now you might have six or seven counties involved in your league, and then things change. So, again, I've always liked what the SVC has, and I just think that there hasn't been enough. I haven't seen enough red flags to say, oh, man, they need to shake things up and add teams or subtract teams. I think it's still a pretty good deal.
Well, Matt, I'll tell you what, we in a 250-ish show, we just wanted to try to reach out and get a lot of people involved. And in doing so, obviously, we could have each of you on for a 50, 60-minute show of your own. But I just want to thank you. I know you do so much behind the scenes in terms of growing our stat work and still helping me do a lot of things, as we're both in coaching and both in, you know, teaching, and you with your AD work and so forth. So I appreciate that. I know, as even with you being a long time at Benton County, the SVC is still really important to you. And as we get you out of here, I certainly don't want to cut you off. Is there any last remark or any comment that you'd want to make in closing your segment out here on our 250th show?
You know, no, not really, other than just to say, you know, job well done to you guys. Obviously, you know, Shane, you've been the person that's ran this thing really top to bottom, but you've also been smart enough to get the right people on board. And I think, guys, you know, the guys you've had host this show over the years, you've always chosen people to, or I should say to co-host, that you've always chosen people to that can bring something to the table, whether it's knowledge of spring sports, or whether it's knowledge of just maybe some different sports like you have right now with soccer and things, and maybe that wasn't something you could watch a lot. You bring somebody on board that can do that. I think that's what's kept it going. And, you know, I think there's the topics you guys discuss are always relevant. And because of that, it's caused your show to have longevity. So hopefully there's no end in sight. You just keep this thing going.
Well, Matt, I appreciate it. Hopefully, good Lord willing, before you know it, we'll have you back maybe on our 300th show here down the road. But I appreciate you coming on with us.
Hey, sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, that was my brother, Matt Holmes. Appreciate him coming on, as we're hoping to do throughout the evening. We're still going to have Jeremy Ward and Derek Webb and Eric Snyder with us, but certainly appreciate Matt taking the time to be with us here this evening.
All right, guys. Up next, we continue our look back over the previous 249 shows. And welcome back to show 250 of SVC Sports Talk. Our next section here, as we continue to hear from the blasts from the past, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport, Look them up on the web, crownhillgolfclub.com. If you're having an outing or if you'd like to have some kind of festivity where you need some facilities, Crown Hill Golf Club, not only one of the better golf clubs in the area, but also a great place to have functions like that. Telephone number 740-986-4653. Give Kevin and the guys a call and tell them what you need. They'll work it up for you. Appreciate their sponsorship. Shane, who's up next on our blast from the past?
Well, up next, we head over to the Vinton County area. Good friend Jeremy Ward. Obviously, Jeremy spent a lot of time in the SVC, a lot of time with us here on SVC Sports Talk. So let's go ahead and welcome Jeremy Ward to the show. Well, Jeremy, on our 250th show, I was just telling my brother Matt, I really appreciate you guys taking the time. I know with all you have on your plate right now, it's really busy for us to get together. And you and I usually are able to get together a couple times a year still, and I really enjoy those times. And in this case, I guess we get to just talk a little bit right here for the entire SVC community again to hear some things. First, I want to congratulate you on a really good softball season down at Vinton County as you get going to with tournament time here real soon. But I guess that's where I want to put you right to work again here in the SVC. I know you've had some SVC teams on your schedule, and just kind of give the league a feel of someone from a non-league perspective on your take on the SVC right now.
Well, thanks, of course, for having me. I miss having these conversations, but as my responsibilities add up, it certainly is a bit of a challenge. And like you said, we have a hard time getting together. So it is very good to talk to you. We've had a good season so far, so I appreciate you commenting on that. We were able to play three or four teams from the SVC, and you know, I guess from our perspective, starting out in Division II with Unioto, you know, they're a very deep team. Their depth of lineup is probably one of the better in our sectional. Maybe not overpowering pitching, perhaps like Waverly when Waverly's on. I think that's why they're the top of the bracket. But I'm not sure there's a deeper lineup in the Division II in our sectional than Unioto's. You know, Adena was a team that I think has been hot and cold that we played early on. They played extremely well against us. I know they've been, you know, like I said, up and down, but you know, they're certainly a quality team in the middle of a Division III bracket, which is of course loaded as always. Southeastern being young, we played them early on, and we're supposed to play them this week. Hopefully that'll happen. I'm sure they're a different team now than they were early. The most impressive team that I've seen in the SCC is Huntington, where they played excellent against us. And you know, they're pitching and having that overpowering arm with good movement and ability to place the ball makes them extremely dangerous. I was looking at the bracket, and I really, really like their draw in Division III.
Well, that's interesting. You know, as you've heard me say over the years, being with me, you know, being a 24-year high school coach in baseball in some level, softball is one of the things I don't get the eye test on as much. That's why I'm always intrigued by just talking softball with you. And you know, another topic as we look back over a 250 show history here, and really a 10-year history on the website, that I talked about earlier in the show was kind of our, and this may be poorly titled, but we were talking about slipping school pride, and we were talking about the day and the age of AAU club volleyball and a lot of transferring and moving around and different things. And I was just wondering from your perspective, how much of a challenge do you think coaches in today's time have in terms of selling, like in your case, that softball Viking, Lady Viking pride, you know, or be it volleyball or whatever, as you see, you know, not just your own girls, but, you know, the kids you coach, or, you know, Jeremy's a principal there at Vinton County, the middle school too. We should have probably said that at the beginning. But as you see kids start to get involved in things, do you feel like school pride is a challenge in today's time, and kids of the day of sharing athletes and not just sharing athletes within our own programs, but within a lot of community things and club things in the surrounding area?
I don't think there's any question. You know, I'm actually very blessed this year to have some kids that I played a lot of club, a lot of AAU, a lot of whether it's softball or volleyball. About half the kids that we have are involved in some other sport beyond just Benton County Athletics. But it's been really refreshing and unique that all of those kids have been very, very clear with me that, you know, they play for their school first and for their classmates and their friends first. And that's just not the norm. Those are challenges that I've fought in the past as a coach, as a dad, different places, whether it's been at Uniota or at Benton County. And in talking to a lot of my friends or a lot of maybe my daughter's friends from other schools that she's played club with, it's just amazing to me how big of a challenge as it is to keep kids invested in their local community first. And they just seem to have a tendency to maybe just get a little overly excited. I don't know if it's the best case scenario thing. I mean, I think everybody does that in the preseason, right? When you're previewing, whether regardless of the sport, it's kind of like you look at what the best case scenario for your team is. And, you know, that's not the reality. It's not going to look like that every day. And I think it's harder and harder for high school teams that may not be able to achieve or play at a high level consistently. I think some kids get this let down and think that, you know, there's a better situation where more players take it more serious or whatever you want to say. I just think that, you know, nobody really is patient enough to let themselves to develop as an individual athlete or allow their teams to develop collectively. And I think it leads to looking for greener pastures.
That's really well said. And I know it's not only hard enough to do in the preseason of the sport, it's certainly hard to do a year in advance. We still have our Jeremy Ward special at the end of every year where you love the way I ask you to look ahead to next year and pick the winners and stuff. So we've even archived that is the official Jeremy Ward special each at the end of each season. Jeremy, as you know, this particular year, I've asked John Bruce to come on. John's been a long, long time SVC guy with incredible perspective of so many sports, and
right.
And he's been a long time listener of the show, and then he's brought so much to our website coverage, and then of course our podcast show. So I certainly want to give him the opportunity to kind of look back over the history of the podcast. And John, I'll kind of turn it over to you. What question would you have for Jeremy this evening?
Well, Jeremy, I've known you for a good bit of time, and we went on some scouting trips together, found the back hallways of a certain school where we have the there's a sectional that Uniota we get to go scout at each year. You're refereeing also, and I'm really excited to see that you've had some nice success down at Benton County again. And one thing with the show, the Liar Liar Stripes on Fire segment, which I know a lot of people enjoyed, I enjoyed. And I think it kind of really it helped me grow as a coach also. Is there any major rule that you see that people just don't seem to still understand in basketball that, you know, you could see one way that you still see a lot, and kind of, when you're back doing SVC games, is there any major thing that you see within the SVC that you maybe don't see in other leagues?
All right. That's interesting. I'll start with the latter there. I think the most intriguing thing about officiating the SVC, of course, it's been something that I've kind of tried to control how many games that I've done in the SVC. Mm-hmm. If I do a lot one year, I'll kind of do fewer the next, but, it is still the Friday, Saturday, whether it's just the energy of the players, the energy of the crowd. I still find it unique that it is difficult to see that same intensity on Friday and Saturday night. from both teams, you know, because you may have a big game, a rivalry game Friday night, and you got to come right back Saturday. And it's just hard to match that energy and match that intensity. And I think you feel that in the crowd. And that's something that we talked about, I believe, one Saturday game that we had this year, where we were expecting a livelier environment. And I just think everybody was tired. So I still think that's the major difference of what I see. And I think you have to prepare for that. You know, officials pregame where you talk about that. The kids may be tired. They may have a tendency to get off to a sluggish start, and you may have to talk them through some things, maybe in the paint, instead of just calling fouls right off the bat. Or you may have to go the opposite and make sure you call some fouls on the perimeter off the bat just to set the tone. As far as rules, it just seems like, I suppose I'll go with a backcourt violation.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
I know we had one. I think I had one in one of my SEC games this year, kind of end of game situation on a side out, and the ball is never controlled by either team. So it kind of hits the offensive player, the defensive player hits it, hits the offensive player again, and goes in the backcourt. So, you know, on an inbounds, there's no team control. So anything can happen, and that division line isn't a division line until somebody establishes possession. And I think there seems to be always confusion on that. Especially if it's a tense situation, you want it to go your way. I know there was a couple really big games this year where I think a lot of people maybe misinterpreted that. No, it was not over and back. And another situation where it was clearly over and back, and probably wasn't called because of the situation. And again, I think you get that 50-50 argument either way, whether it was called correctly or not, the fans still have the same argument. So, first the touch, last the touch. And some people don't agree with it. You know, if I'm playing defense on you and I knock the ball out, you're dribbling, I knock the ball away, it hits off your body and now goes in the backcourt. You know, why should I be punished as a defensive player and allow you to pick it up without penalty when you were the last one to control the ball, even though because I made a good defensive play? And I think a lot of times that still isn't something that most people understand.
Yeah, with the history of the show, Jeremy, with the liar, liar, stripes on fire, the have a clue blue, a lot of the fun things we've mm-hmm. done, but they've really been fun for us to talk about. We've learned a lot, but it's also been very educational to our listeners. I guess with that in mind, and then with the media stuff in mind, in terms of how this has helped the area grow and put some pressure on other media outlets to do some things, in your background as a player in the TVC, where, it was kind of your local, county right there, it's all Vinton County, and then around the area there was some TVC coverage compared to when you had come to, say, a Uniota or an SVC. In closing out your segment here, as you look back over the 250 podcast shows and so forth in the history of the website, what's been the biggest media difference in terms of our SVC community compared to some of the other communities you've been a part of, in terms of the differences in the way we cover our athletes?
Well, I just think collectively, having that many schools in Ross County, just the familiarity and the willingness and the want of just pretty much the average fan to care about their team first, but also to care and have knowledge about the other kids, the other players, the other teams in the area. It's something that just doesn't seem to, it doesn't really happen as much in our league, where you've got teams from, four or five different counties spread out, especially in the spring season. And even some of the sports like volleyball, where, you don't know all the kids. And to me, it was remarkable, as I spent time on the show and, in the SVC as Emily was playing, how you just pretty much, it seemed like you knew a whole lot about everybody in the league. And I think that's unique and it's really special. And it's something that the show and the website have promoted and even made a stronger occurrence throughout the Scioto Valley.
Well, Jeremy, I'll tell you what, as a friend, I really appreciate everything you've done over the years for the show. As Bruce and I like to joke, once you had to start wearing the tie to work every day, it all went downhill for us. But in all seriousness, sure. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. And as I'm ending every segment tonight, I don't want to cheat you guys out of an opportunity. Any final comment or anything left unsaid here that you want to add into our 250th show this evening?
I just think it's remarkable and, you know, a testament to how much you guys care, particularly Shane, to make this go, whether it's finding a new host. Certainly Bruce has been a big part of that, and it's just really special how you've maintained over the years to make this continue to grow and promote the kids of the SVC.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, as soon as you know, baseball, softball, and obviously our school winds down here, we'll have to get together soon and catch up. I appreciate you coming on with me with us this week.
Thanks, Shane.
Again, that was Jeremy Ward, longtime friend, longtime member here of SVCSportsZone.com and SVC Sports Talk in a variety of ways, and appreciate everything he's given us over the years. And wish him the best of luck down the stretch here. He's doing an outstanding job over there at Benton County with their softball program as well as their middle school principal. And, you know, Bruce, if just to keep the ball rolling here, if you're okay, let's move right on to our guest list. And we'll invite in a familiar name to our SVC listeners, and that's Derek Webb. Let's go ahead and have Derek join the show here. Well, Derek, we certainly appreciate you coming on. We know you're busy. We know a lot of people are busy. And as we come up on show 250, it just means a lot to us to try to include everybody that's had a role in SVC Sports Talk and SVCSportsZone.com. And you certainly had that and continue to. The first thing I wanted to ask about was your Derek webpage on SVCSportsZone.com. It's really been a cool addition to the website. We get a lot of comments about it. And just maybe share with our listeners is how you wanted to stay connected to the website, even though you're kind of moving on, which I'll give you a chance to talk about that here in a second, but kind of what you were hoping to accomplish by staying connected to SVCSportsZone.com and what you and I had been able to do here on SVC Sports Talk.
Well, I think that's for two simple reasons. One is because I like you guys. because I always liked working with you, Shane, and with you, Bruce, and I've always enjoyed the podcast when I was kind of a regular on it, and then of course when John popped in, we're good friends as well. So I've continued to listen, I've continued to kind of keep up to date with what was going on in the area and just what was going on with you guys each on a weekly basis. The other is the easiest reason, and that's to give the kids the extra coverage. That's kind of the top priority. Mine, which has always been top priority of mine, but it's just a cool addition to where they could, have another platform to get, seems like a growing set of platforms to get the coverage that they deserve and work so hard for. So, those two reasons were, that's easy. That's an easy question.
Well, you lead me right into the second point of, the different goals that I've shared earlier in the show tonight about what the website was for and what the podcast has been for. Is to grow our league and so forth. And I guess that's the connection of, it's never been more about outside the league for us, but you've done such a good job now of still giving this to the SVC kids, but you've kind of, had your vision as you've kind of been away and come back and you've kind of tried to find your place here in Southern Ohio. I know being a good friend of yours, how much it's really meant to you to be able to do it here in this area. Share that with us a little bit and then maybe lead into this kind of this new avenue that you and our good friend, hopefully Sir Brock Netter and some of these guys are going to eventually be able to do for the area.
Yeah, there's no place like home, right? They always say that. just with just twice in Illinois to kind of figure that out in life. It's correct. I mean, I've got a sister that's had two nephews. One of them are 2 years old yet. So when I went over there, I didn't know how much I would kind of miss it. And miss being in their lives and kind of being around those. Sure. They're not my kids, but my nephews and. They're kind of, I said the top priority, they're the top priority. Mm-hmm. And so But what I didn't notice was when, or what I didn't know is that when I went over to Illinois both times, how much I missed our area's athletes, coaches, and athletic directors. It didn't hit me by like a complete surprise. I know I'd miss the area, but it just like felt like when I spent the time here talking to the kids and getting to know them on a personal level instead of, you know, just kind of going to games and writing, they became part of my life. And so I learned that real quickly when I did go away. The second time that I did come back, obviously I'm working down in Portsmouth at the Daily Times there. And, you know, me and Brock, Sir Brockheader, I better call him by his correct name.
Yes. Yeah.
Me and Sir Brock, we had a vision of a website. How to get another coverage avenue, all the way from Fall in Pickaway County down to, you know, Franklin Furnace Green in Scioto County. And it just kind of started out as a hobby, honestly. We were just like, just have fun with it. Kind of caught fame. You know, I think we looked at this point and said, maybe we've got something here.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what we see today. We've got big plans. So far, we've kind of focused on just the features and just kind of telling about kids' seasons and, you know, where they are and going to get better. We're excited for football season to come up because we do have, you know, more content on the way to where we can kind of put our full selves into it, instead of just doing a couple side jobs. So, and Shane, to your point with Sir Brock, he's back in the area now too.
Well, we saw that, yes.
Absolutely. So he's going to be seeing Mr. Bruce Knox a lot there in Vinton County. I'm excited for those kids in that area to get coverage as well. Because you know, obviously, I know what Brock can do and what he can bring to a sports section. So it's right along. We're excited. We feel like that avenue, as well as SEC Sports Zones, you know, avenues like that only continue to give the coverage they deserve. I played high school sports around this area. If we had anything like the kids have now, I would have loved that.
Sure.
And so that's kind of what we're trying to create.
Sure. Well, that's really well said. And, you know, here in your distinguished chair in the studio, as you departed from us, we've invited John Bruce, and I'm going to pass it over to John, as John's done with all of our guests this evening so far. Yeah, John, you've obviously know Derek well. You've known the history of the show well. Just what question might you have for Derek that you think will add to our 250th show here this evening?
So, Derek, how was the trip? First off,
long.
Yeah, so I figured I would have to, you know, kind of throw that out to you since I'm the one that normally takes trips, and I must have got it from you. with you taking a long weekend trip. How is like when you get into the coverage of the kids? What do you enjoy most about it? Is it easy for the kids to open up to you? I know you've been around for a while, and kind of give like an idea of how long you work every night on this.
Well, that last question is a good one.
Yeah.
You know, I think my favorite is always making that, you know, instead of just going to a game, you know, say a kid throws that kid out, go back to the office, write the story, go. You know, that's a lot of what people maybe think we do as sports writers. And what we're always trying to do is make a personal connection. And, you know, when I first started, I knew the area, but I didn't know anybody personally. I didn't know the families, their moms and dads, and their sisters and brothers and grandpas and grandmas. That's kind of been the coolest part of my job, to where now if I go into a basketball game, you know, it's not that I know everybody, but I can point out and say, okay, well, that's Bryce Newman's grandpa, who's awesome, by the way. If you've never met Bryce Newman's grandpa, he's an amazing person, and he'll make you laugh. But that type of connection is what I've always enjoyed. And through watching Bryce play sports, I've gotten to know his grandpa and his dad and his mom really well, and his sister, obviously, who covered her as well. So I think that's always been my favorite part. Is I don't look at it as I'm just writing about these kids while they're there, you know, and then that's my job. I'm going home. You know, I've always tried to make it more. And, you know, I think that's been my favorite part, is kind of building those lasting relationships to where, like, Kayla, she's now at Akron. And by the way, she's had a great week this week.
That,
you know, in the pitcher's circle, I can still, like, if I texted or just with Kayla now to write a story, she'd be like, "Hey, Derek, absolutely." You know, and that's not for me, for my sake, just for her sake, just kind of keep the fans informed in this area about her and, you know, her progress. So I think that's in terms of hours. It depends on the season, honestly. Obviously, football Friday nights are long, long day nights. You know, basketball, they can be long nights. But on an average day, I probably work about 3 hours in the morning and then go to the game about 5, and I'll be done around 2 that night. About that's a rough estimate. You know, this is my regular day.
Well,
I wouldn't trade it for the world.
when we look at to the show here, what we've tried to allow each person a chance. Obviously, as I said, each person, we could sit and talk for hours like we do over dinner or whatever, like when we go out together and so forth. But in order to try to get as many people on this evening as possible, we're going to try to keep the segments a little bit short here, Derek. But I certainly don't want to cut you off. You've meant so much to the show and to our area. Just a closing comment. When you think back of the website and the podcast role, and obviously the vision you have to carry it, you know, even throughout all of Southern Ohio, just maybe a final comment that you'd want to add to the show this week.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, for your listeners, and they already know this because they're listening, the SVC Sports Network is an asset to the SVC and the entire community. There's many, many people that come up to me when I was on the show. They still come up to me and ask me, you know, something about what John Bruce is mad about. My favorite always. You know, they listen, and it matters to them. I mean, that's part of their work. Obviously, this is 250 shows then. I have started now at Southern House Sports Authority. I don't know if maybe you ever thought this is going to be 250 shows deep. So that's awesome on your end. So thank you for the service that you give our area athletes. And, you know, that would be my closing comment. Is just, you know, like you, our vision and my vision is just to continue to give those athletes coverage and support. You know, a lot of kids that, you know, maybe underestimated and valued at times, not by choice, just by, you know, whatever it may be. You write an article, or maybe you mention their name on a podcast, and they hear it that week. It makes their week, and it makes them a better player maybe that day with more confidence. And that's what we should all be about. And I know that's what you're about, Shane. And you got two faithful partners next to you that are pretty decent people themselves.
Absolutely. Well, Derek, I tell you what, man, I appreciate it. I know it's been a busy travel day for you and so forth, and appreciate you blocking out a time segment for us this evening. And I look forward to continuing to read your stuff and everything you represent in terms of covering our kids here in Southern Ohio. So appreciate you taking some time to be with us on our 250th show.
Absolutely. We'll see you fellas soon. All right.
All right. Take care. Well, again, that's Derek Webb. Appreciate Derek joining us on the show. I know he's busy, but he certainly has been outstanding in terms of the coverage here in our area, and really, really happy to have him be a part of the website and join us here this evening here on show 250. So, Bruce, I know we have one more to go if you want to take us to the final segment.
We sure do. In our final segment, we get a little help as we talk about our Coach's Corner with one of our other blasts from the past, Mr. Eric Snyder.
This town ain't big, this town ain't small, it's a little of both, they say. Our ball club may be minor league, but at least it's
again, show 250 rolls on here. I want to tell you that this section brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming, 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, where we care. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 12. And their doggy daycare resort hours, 7 to 7 on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. Appreciate their support of the podcast as well. Shane, we've got one more person hanging on the line. Why don't you bring him in?
Well, another great friend, another voice from the past here on SVC Sports Talk. And that's, of course, Huntington boys basketball coach Eric Snyder. So let's go and welcome Eric to the show. Coaching together, and we've done some teaching together, and then our jobs have taken us different directions. But obviously, he had spent some time on SVC Sports Talk with us. So when we come up on these milestones and we look back at the history, certainly a part of that. And, you know, Eric, to welcome you to the show, Bruce has even put together some of our Eric Snyder greatest hits. Go ahead and take a listen here.
One more question here on a little bit of a lighter note. I work with Cheryl Knisley out of Pink Valley, and you know, Cheryl, for the SVC fans that don't know, has been a longtime cross country coach at Pink Valley. And, you know, she's all the time talking about her running, and she's coming into the teacher's lounge with her little fruit cup, and I'm my heart attack in a sack. You know what I'm saying? The one thing I've always got.
Well, Eric, I really do have a serious question here in a second, but I have to ask you first. I know with you working with me out there at Pain Valley, is Cheryl had any luck in terms of getting you to turn to the fruit cup at lunch or going out and running any after school?
Probably, unfortunately not. You know, I just even today she caught me with a donut walking down the hall to the classroom. So you just kind of get that look off the side of glance, and it's like, what are you doing? So yeah, unfortunately, I haven't been listening too well either. So I can't believe that there's someone out there that might even disagree with something I said.
So actually, the one interview, looking back at, as we've tried to thank Triple Crown, you know, all evening long, that was an interview I was doing with Adrian Ross there at Triple Crown when he was signing D1 as a cross country runner, and some of his track and cross country abilities, which he's one of the best we've had over our decade history. But you know, those are some good times. Yeah, Eric, you look back, gosh, there was 5, 6, 7 that we were trying to choose from before we had you on, with the meatballs at the hospitality room and you being mad that you weren't invited and so forth. But I guess just at opening, just looking back at the good times of the coverage and what the website's added to the SVC, which I know obviously means a lot to you.
I'm glad that I could produce something for you guys of positivity, at least a few sound bits that you could use at some time often. When you talked to me, oh gee, how many years ago was that now, about your vision on you starting this up?
We're in year 10 of the website and year, what, 8 of the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, and to see how much it's grown, and now with the podcast and just your vision of the whole purpose of let's get our area athletes some publicity and talk about some things that normally maybe not get talked about a lot from other different sports, and just how awesome it's been to see that take off as an idea and grow into something that there's many people that have benefited from it and are still benefiting and will continue to benefit in our area. So proud to be a small part of it.
Well, Eric, we with you being in our final segment this evening, I wanted to put you in this particular segment for this reason. I know you and I've talked so much about looking back early in our career. One thing that we do in our final segment of our show throughout the year is John and I try to look back when we were a younger coach and the different things we've learned throughout and so forth. And we use a phrase in our coach's corner. And in the spring, we tweak it a little bit. But basically what we're asking is, when I was a younger coach, I wish someone would have told me blank. You are someone that and by the way, fans, Eric's going to be in our June issue, I believe it is, of Great Seal Sports. He's going to be our Q&A with me on the coaches there. And, you know, in that, we talk a lot about a lot of different levels of coaching. Eric's coached, junior high, freshman boys, JV boys, varsity girls. He's coached college ball up at OUC. Out of all that experience, Eric, you look back on your career, how would you fill in that blank if you were talking to a younger coach? When I was a younger coach, I wish someone would have told me blank.
Balance. And what I mean by that is you know, as a younger coach, you get completely sometimes just consumed by your coaching and what you're doing, and you lose sight and focus on some of the other things that are way too important to keep track of and to keep care of. And so that's the one thing that I think I've done a lot better job as I've gotten older here and more experience is just the balance of keeping everything in perspective and keeping care of yourself and making sure you do the things you're supposed to do with your family and all that. So that would be a big one with, especially as a young kid, you're kind of coming in with all full go and a bunch of energy. And sometimes you lose a little focus and that'd be the one thing is to continue to always have balance in your life and make sure you understand it's just not you in the fight. Surround yourself with good people and those people will get you through it.
You know, on a note of balance and taking care of yourself and a lot of things that we've talked about in this segment throughout, the funny part of the Cheryl Knisely thing that I was talking about is you really have kind of taken to running and taking care of your body and preparing and so forth. Talk to us a little bit about that and what you think that means to a young coach as well. Yeah, maybe Cheryl reached you after all.
Yeah, people who know me, they can really take your last name. Taking care of my body, you can really tell that. basically, my jogging of 3 miles now is I've got to the mind frame of I'll do that so I can eat my like 8,000 calories.
There you go.
What was the question again?
I was referencing back to the funny clip that we had, and I was saying that you really have to run more. And how do you feel like just taking care of yourself and so forth for the everyday grind of coaching?
Yeah, I think for me, honestly, and it is something that I really do. Even my players kind of razz me about it because in the wintertime, with it being cold out, I'm not going out and running. So a lot of times either before practice or after practice is when I'll do it, and got kids hanging around shooting in the gym or whatever and sees me. I call it jogging. They call it a fast walk. But I think for me, it's a distressor, to be quite honest. It helps me out in that aspect and keeps me kind of focused on the things that I need to be and so forth. So and more than anything, I think it's helped me out as kind of being a distressor and a good way to do that.
Well, as we've done all night with our guest, I want to kind of give John a chance to ask a question too. John's obviously come on board with us, and I know as Eric listens to the show and does some different things, and he's always appreciative of all the different coverage that the league gets. So John, I'll kind of throw it over to you as you think back to anything from the show or from basketball or coaching or what kind of just wide open forum to you in terms of question you might have for Eric.
Well, Eric, you know, I've enjoyed talking basketball with you at different times. Shockingly for both of us, we would see each other out to eat after games.
Now, don't tell too many. We've been talking about all my health stuff.
I didn't say whether it was an unhealthy place or not. People just had to figure that out. If we go back to kind of how things have changed also, since you're a younger coach and since we're all younger coaches, can you just kind of let us know how you feel like scouting has changed a coach since you were younger?
Scouting for sure is something that the technology aspect of when I first started coaching till now, it is just amazing the different things that we have access to and you know, back when I first started, we were traveling all over Southern Ohio. I mean, you might catch us down Manchester on a weekday night and so on and so forth. And then, because if you didn't go see it yourself with your own eyes, then, you know, you weren't going to see anything about your upcoming opponents or anything. But today, with the technology and with the video and the apps like Huddle that we use, you know, that really helps out time wise, and you can see you can see some different things without having to completely just blow your schedule up for the whole week, because, you know, here you are practicing each and every night, getting ready for games, and trying to go on the road and see for firsthand what your future opponent might be doing. That took up a lot of time. So from the scouting perspective, technology, I know for one and for me, and I know for everybody else, just an absolute amazing tool that's made it easier.
Well, I tell you, obviously, Eric, as we've said with my brother and Jeremy and Derek and yourself, we could turn 45, 50 minute shows in with each person, just because that's how much we have to catch up on. But we certainly appreciate you coming on. I guess as I've given them all a chance to do the same, before you get out of here, a final comment, maybe something we left untouched that maybe you wanted to look back at, or just a comment about the show or the league, just kind of an open opportunity for you to close us out here.
Well, you know, like I said earlier about just how this has advanced and how this has grown. And I, for one, I'm kind of excited to see, because, you know, everything's about change. Nothing stays the same these days for a while, and we have to adapt. So I guess it's really interesting for me to see the changes and how you guys adapt with as you guys keep on going forward in your coverage and stuff. So you got a fan here and us, and I know there's a lot of people in the township that are reading your website and listening in all the time. So like I said, it's a great way to put our kids out there first, and I know they appreciate it. I know their families appreciate it, and it's a great thing moving forward. Interested to see and excited to see the things that you guys can continue doing.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and I look forward to opportunity this summer for me and you to get to catch up a lot and do some different things together and so forth.
And if I can, I guess the one thing, you know, whenever I was on the show before and helped out, you know, still to try to get Bruce to give a little bit more of a music variety on the in between, that would be helpful for me, because everybody that knows me knows that, you know, my liking of rap music.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get Bruce to get a little bit more of that genre in between the bits there. So noted. I know.
And for people who don't know, that was always a we were actually just talking about that before Eric had come on. Throughout the history of Eric Stivon here, he usually had quite the critique for Bruce on each butt.
I always felt like he was the Russian judge, you know, with the low score.
Right. And I guess I'm kind of a little bit jealous of John, because John now is one of the co-hosts. He's got a lot better contract than I do. So I guess the jealousy kind of comes out too, because, you know, John's talking about seeing, you know, after games sometimes eating. Well, you know, he keeps telling me, well, you know, I'm able to have a little bit extra money because all this per diem money is given for this show. And I was like, well, geez, I had to do that for free. Bruce said that he couldn't have a contractor.
Always a pleasure, Mr. Snyder.
Hey, I appreciate you guys getting with me here, and like I said, wonderful stuff you guys are doing, and keep on doing the good work, and we appreciate it.
Thanks, E. We appreciate it. Again, that's Eric Snyder. I appreciate him joining us, and really all the guests. My brother Matt, Jeremy, Derek, Eric. It means a lot to me to have them on show 250, kind of a celebration of sorts of how far it comes. And you know, I know it's been a long night. We appreciate you sticking with us here. But we think we have maybe the best for last when we get to our contact information. Before Bruce gives just the basic boring details of how you can talk to myself or John, John's going to give you a little bit of insight into something that's been quite the question brewing here, and that is where the Twitter handle of the Wall Papa first had originated.
Yeah, Coconut Wall Papa, right, John?
Oh, yeah. Well, if I can – this is – now, you'd have to have listened to ESPN radio back – not so far back in the day, but when the Scott Van Pelt show was still on,
mm-hmm.
I had a Twitter handle that was not like – like it wasn't terrible, but it was like – there was a lot of questions about it.
Nice.
And I actually had tweeted to the show and they read my tweet, and then they spent a solid 2 minutes discussing what my Twitter handle could have possibly meant.
Hmm.
So then when I really got back into coaching, I was like, I can't have that, because it was, you know,
less than edifying.
It was probably a little. Yeah. And so I went to a couple other names. I was like, man, these are, I had a couple Chappelle Show references, but that probably still weren't great. And then I just went to the boring old jbruce1018 to go with my email address.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's not me. That's not me at all. I had to go back through a lot of things in my life to figure out what my name's going to be. So if you really went to Facebook, you could see my Facebook page is Orange Crush 17, which makes zero sense in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to something I've done for 15 years, and we actually played it yesterday, a tennis baseball league. We play on a little league field, and we use tennis balls instead of baseballs, and it is really not good anymore, but it's really fun.
Huh.
Somebody a few years back was like, hey, what would Facebook's let you name your page? What would you name it? First thing I thought of was Orange Crush 17. and then they just kind of looked at me like, where'd that come from? I said, well, it could have been Coconut Wall Papa too, or Coconut Wallpaper was okay. What it originally was.
Oh, okay.
And then it didn't fit when I tried to do it on Twitter.
Oh. So
it became Coconut Wall Papa, because PAPA isn't as fun. Wall Papa makes no sense. and it's just kind of, it was just something to have fun with. And then, of course, I get on the show and you have to say it every week. And then I feel like an idiot, but I also don't care. You know, especially like if I'm like, someone says like I'm going to cover a game or something. And then I'm like, oh, great. So now my name's on there as I'm an idiot still. But at this point I enjoy it.
So
and one last thing, when I was teaching at Wilmington, one of the kids in class goes, why is your Twitter name Coconut Wall Papa? And I just looked at him and I was like, figure it out. I didn't have an answer at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of, you know, that's,
so, the truth is basically that it's just three words, random words put together.
Yeah.
Two, maybe, I guess, if you consider wallpaper.
Yeah.
And then it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The true story isn't as great, but, yeah. But you can also, I mean, there's a lot to it. I mean, there's a year I had to have hand surgery, and I went down to visit some friends at Ohio University, and I had my hand wrapped up, and I probably had 45 different stories for how I did it.
Mm-hmm.
because the real story wasn't great. So yeah, just
okay.
Well, all I know is it's wall pop. And to tell different, you're breaking the hearts of so many SVC Sports Talk listeners.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
you need to go with Papa.
Yeah, it's definitely Papa.
I don't know, but I don't know about you, Shane, but I am so glad that I hung on for 250 episodes to find that out. Yes.
Now, if to, I didn't mean to sway off agenda here as we normally never do during our 250.
Right.
I will allow Bruce to return to the normal contact information if you'd like to share.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. If you wish to contact Mr. Shane Combs, you may do so via email at admin1@svcsportzone.com. His Twitter handle, svcsportzone. And when he tweets about the SVC, he does so with the hashtag SVCSportsTalk. So you might just do a search on that. He maintains two Facebook profiles, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and svcsportzone.com. And you notice all of those are kind of reasonable. Just saying. John Bruce, on the other hand, his email is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. His Twitter handle, as we all know, say it together now, @coconutwallpapa. And he also uses the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. So you can just search on that and catch both of them. And then you can also catch Derek Webb when he tweets, because he also uses that hashtag regarding SVC Sports and his verified account. At DW1509 and Gmail, email rather, is DerekW1509@gmail.com. So there you got it. All the contact information that's fit to spit, Shane.
Well, Bruce, before I kind of go into my last spill, I want to give you a chance because you've been here in the seat just as many times as me. Just your thoughts on 250 and kind of what that means to you and what it means moving forward.
Well, you were not my first podcast that I put together, but you were obviously my most voluminous. When I got into this, I thought it was it came out of a conversation that Matt and my brother actually had. They were doing a radio show regarding the Vinton County basketball program, and it was on the radio. It was costly. It was difficult to put together and do it. So through the technology, it was a lot easier to do it one other way, and that was to do a podcast. And so they did their podcast, and in the during the explanation to them of how to do a podcast, that's where actually I think the light bulb went off above Matt's head. That, hey, this is something my brother Shane might be interested in, and that's where it all began. So, you know, it's been a great ride. They tell you if you get through 7 podcast episodes that you've crossed the hump. Well, we did that probably in the first fall season. I know it was in the first fall season because we had like 11 of those. But it's a joy to hear the excitement of particularly Shane and all these co-hosts that we've talked to tonight, because they hold SVC Sports near and dear to their heart. They really do. It's a passion. It's something that, you know, there's no big bucks being made despite some of the various, you know, scuttlebutt that's out there. Right, John? Right. No big bucks. But you do it out of the kindness of their heart, and the passion that they have is that the kids need to be publicized, if nothing else, just because it makes them feel good. And I think that's a loving way to go about business. And plus, they like sports, so those are the things that I think, Shane, you are to be commended. You put in endless hours. You get the agenda ready. I sit here and push buttons and yap a little bit, but you guys are the brains behind the outfit, and I'm just glad I'm along for the ride.
Well, John, the same opportunity to you. Thoughts? I know you've been a part of this in a variety of ways. Just your final thoughts.
I don't know if I listened to the first couple episodes, but like I mentioned with Matt, I listened from early on. It's just just your guys' passion for sports, especially in the SEC, has really came through on the show. I know you kind of mentioned it to me a few years back about coming on. Things just didn't work out, and then, you know, obviously things worked out this year. But I really want to thank you, Shane, and you, Bruce, on kind of helping me along. The first couple of weeks I know were kind of rough. And then just really, I just my confidence and just how much I enjoy doing the show has really grown since then. It's given me a couple other opportunities to be on other shows and to kind of just put my name out also. But it won't ever go further than what we have here. This is a lot of fun. I look forward to it every weekend, just kind of plan my weekends around, well, to an extent, on being able to be available on Sunday nights. Because, I mean, even when I know I did one episode from Atlanta, mm-hmm. from a hotel room in Atlanta, it's a lot of fun. I have players that have come up and like will talk to me about things. I had a player after a game on Thursday come up and talk to me about something we talked about on the show. It's just because kids enjoy listening to it. I know parents listen to it. I know longtime fans listen to it. And it's just a lot of fun to be able to get positive interactions out there for kids and hopefully get names out there to give them more opportunities and enjoy the amount of time that they have playing high school sports, because obviously we all enjoy it and enjoyed our time doing it. So it's something that's really fun, and it's you get to do it one time. So hopefully we can make it a little bit better for the kids, and feel like we have been able to, and I've really appreciated being a part of it so far.
Absolutely. Well, again, I want to thank Triple Crown Family Fun Center. They're the ones that make this completely possible. Thank you to Matt, Jeremy, Derek, Eric, for all the time on SVC Sports Talk and joining us tonight. And John, I really want to thank you. It's really given us a chance to grow as friends. We've always been friends, but mm-hmm. just a chance that I've really, really enjoyed it. What we were able to do in the fall and winter was really, really cool. I know our spring schedules are just crazy busy, and we're going to continue to work together and get more dynamic in terms of how we can continue to spread the great spring talent that we have in our area. And I look forward to doing that with you as we grow here at svcsportszone.com. And of course, Bruce, you know, right from the beginning, we've done this. I know Bruce a couple times has told me, you could probably end up doing this. I don't know that I really play. And I just stop him right there and tell him he's nuts. Like for example, tonight, if you were to see the way we've had to get people schedule, organize and do things, and then the way he'll actually produce this and put it out there, it's unreal what you do, Bruce, your flexibility and your willingness to do it. I really appreciate it. And again, you and I have had a chance to get to know each other through this and form a friendship and so forth. So I say thank you and for all that you've done. So when we move until next time, we kind of return to our normal format and start getting a lot more names and talk about, you know, programs and what's going on, SVC All League issues and tournament issues and all sorts of things down the stretch as we kind of return to our format. I look forward to doing that next time. So for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes in at DBK Media Services, and for John Bruce, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.